Evening. You're definitely going to need a Bible. Okay, so if you haven't got one, stick your hand up and then someone will bring one to you. We're not going to do as much looking around the Bible as we did a couple of weeks ago, but we will be looking at a few different bits. So, here we go. Are we excited? Yeah, I am. Although I'm doing my best not to show it. I'm sure you are as well. There's a Bible over. We need a Bible over here as well. Yeah. You have to bring it over. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, so put your hand up if you want to admit, right, that you're good at DIY. And Mark, by a good, put his hand up then. And put it down again dead quick. Anyone else good at DIY? One. Only one. Two. Three, four. Okay, for those of you who are good at DIY, do you know what this is? It's a screwdriver, isn't it? Now, if you're not very good at DIY, like me, this is not only a screwdriver, this has many uses, okay? For example, it's a hammer. You know when you can't be bothered to go to get the hammer? You think, I'll hit it with the back of the screwdriver, that'll be good enough. Or then when you can't find anything to get the lid off the tin of paint, what do you get? You get a screwdriver. That's not what it's meant for, but you get it and you give it a go. You might even use it, if you're really naughty, to stir the paint. Oof. Obviously, that's pushing the boat out too far for some people. Okay, but it's not made for that, is it? No, it's not. It's made for screwing in screws, okay? That's what it's made for, and that's how you get the best out of it. We could use it for some other stuff, but really, it's not the best for some other stuff. It's definitely not good as a hammer, by the way, because I've tried it loads and it's definitely rubbish as a hammer. I always advise, if you need a hammer, top DIY tip, use a hammer. Now, do you know what this is? Well, we'll come back to this in a minute, okay? So this, as you know, is a camera, but sometimes this could be used and has been used in our house as a doorstop. Keep the door open. It's been used as a paperweight. It's been left somewhere upside down and got kicked around. Used for all of the stuff, but not taking photos. What is it designed and meant to do is take photos. So we get the best out of it. We get the use out of it that we need when we use it for what it is intended to be used for. Now, I was going to tell a story about a long time ago, but I'm not going to. If you want to know what it is, come and ask me at the end, but it's when we were in the other church building down the road. If you want to know what that is about, using something that is for what it's not intended for, it's a really good example. But there's no point telling you because it won't mean anything to you. Okay, so we've been looking at doctrine, right? So doctrine, as you may or may not know, are these kind of fundamental, basic, foundational ideas and principles about God and us and the way we relate to him and he relates to us. So it's really important for those of us who call ourselves Christians, that we do try to get a grip at some of these things. Some of them are tough, okay? There's no getting away from that. Sometimes things that are worth doing take hard work, okay? And it might be a little bit of hard work for the old grey matter tonight, but that's good because, as I always used to say, your brain's like a muscle, isn't it? And if you don't use it, it will go flabby and soft and out of condition. So if you keep using it, you're like towing it up. So we'll definitely be doing some toning up of our brain muscles tonight. And you'll also be doing toning up of your fingers looking through the Bible. Okay, so sanctification. You've heard of that word before, I'm sure. But before we get into it in a little bit more detail, I just want us to think about the last couple of weeks. So a couple of weeks ago, I stood here and talked about justification. Brill. And what did we say, justification? Can you remember? We used that, I said a thing, it was just as if I'd never sinned. But we said at the end it was actually a bit more than that, didn't we? Remember that? Okay, and I used like a new word for some people. Do anyone remember what that was? It began with an I. Anyone? Oh dear. Imputation it was, Paul, yeah, thanks. It was imputed, and that was when we were talking about how God gives us something we don't earn. And that is forgiveness. But not only does he forgive and deal with our sin, he actually gives us Christ's righteousness as well. So there's those two things happen in justification. Okay, and then last week, if you were here, you would have heard Mark talking about adoption and this idea that God's love for us is so great and so powerful that we become adopted into the family of God. So adoption, justification, they're words that you may hear outside of church because they have some kind of legal connotation to them. Sanctification, though, is generally a word we only hear in church. And that's because part of the word sanctification, the first bit, sanctus means holy. So it's kind of a church word. But I want to tell you a couple of important things about justification and adoption before we move on. And this is really important to get a hold of. Justification happens once. If you have come to Christ and put your faith in him, you have been justified. You have been put right with God. That is an event that has happened in your past. And it doesn't need to happen again. Once you've been justified, set right with God, had your sin dealt with, it doesn't need to be dealt with again. It's been dealt with. Did you know, by the way, nothing you can do can make God love you less. Nothing you can do can make God love you more. He loves you so much already, as Mark was reminding us last week. And if you've been justified, you've been adopted. Again, that is in the past tense. If you've come to Christ, if you're a Christian, you have been adopted. And it's really important for us to get a grip that as followers of Christ, those two events are in our past. They have happened and they are both done completely by God, not by you. You don't earn it. You can't wake it up. God moves in your life. And those two events happen the moment you come to him in repentance and faith and accept Jesus as your Savior. In that instant, you are justified, just as if you'd never sinned, and you are adopted into the family of God. That's pretty good, I think. Yeah? Brill. Okay, so turn with me now. We're going to have just to cement that, we're going to have a look at, so turn to Hebrews chapter 10. So Hebrews near the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 says this, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 7, go back a couple of pages. I'm going to just read a few verses from verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. So, the children of Israel needed a priest to go into the Holy of Holies on their behalf. When the priest died, obviously they couldn't carry on doing that, so they needed a new priest to carry on doing that. But he holds, this is Jesus, his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily. Here it is. First for his own sins, and then for those of the people. Since he did this once for all when he offered himself up. That's what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus. He has secured your forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Isn't that amazing? You have been saved eternally by what Jesus has done for you. If you've come to him in repentance and faith, your sin is dealt with. You are justified. You are right with him. And then because of that, you are adopted into his family. And that's the nature of our relationship with God. We are forgiven and adopted. That's amazing. We are forgiven by God and adopted into his family. So if you've come to Christ, you have been justified, you have been adopted, but then there's something else. And that other bit is our word tonight, sanctification. And there's a tension between our justification in our past and our ongoing sanctification in our time from when we come to Christ to when we meet him face to face. So when we came to Christ, we were forgiven, our sin was dealt with, and we were adopted. In between that moment and when we see him face to face, that is where sanctification happens. That is where something changes. So that process of coming to Christ gives us what theologians call, so this is a great phrase for you, positional holiness. We stand correct. Our position before God is holy. Turn to Romans chapter 1 with me, please. So that's a bit further back than going back into towards the middle of the Bible from Hebrews. Romans chapter 8. These are great verses, by the way. There is therefore, this is our position before God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I, for one, am thrilled about that. That is my position before God in Christ. That is your position before God. Chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. That is your position. That is my position. No condemnation, fellow heirs with Christ. That is amazing. Do you know, have you let this sink in? I've been thinking about this week. When God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees Christ's perfection. He doesn't see my failure. He sees Christ's perfection. He doesn't see my letdown. He sees Christ's perfection. That is how much God has done for you in Christ. So God wants more for you, though, than just positional holiness. What he wants for you is a life of holiness, a life of sanctus, a life of sanctification, being holy. Remember, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That is what our journey is now. So from conversion to when we meet Jesus face to face, our journey is sanctification, to be set apart for holiness, or as one commentator said, to be set apart for what it was you were originally intended for. So I get the best out of the screwdriver by using it for what it was intended for, not by using it for other stuff. I get the best out of the camera by using it for what it was intended for. You get the best out of your life in Christ by living as God intended you to live. And unlike adoption and justification, which happens in an instant in our past, sanctification is our ongoing journey. And we're all at different stages of it, aren't we? We're all at different stages of it. So it doesn't become any of us to look at anyone else and comment on where they are on their journey. Because remember, as we were reminded this morning in the kids' story, man looks on the outside and God looks on the heart. And when God looks on your heart in Christ, he sees not your sin, but he sees the spotless Lamb of God. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and that was God's kingdom. I've said this to you before. They were God's people in God's place under God's blessing. They were sanctified. They were living in relationship with God as they were intended. They were set apart for their relationship with him. So they were sanctified. Sin came and their relationship with God was distorted. They were removed from the garden and they were no longer in God's kingdom. They were God's people, but they were no longer in God's place and they were no longer under God's blessing, the immediate access to his presence. But that didn't distort or change God's original purpose. And even though creation is marred and damaged by sin, it still speaks about God. Turn to Psalm 19. So Psalms, roughly in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 19. So remember, this is the fallen world. This is the world, the sin-sick world. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Creation still speaks of the glory of God. Turn back to Romans, chapter 1. Well, you don't have to turn back. I'll just read it to you. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. The whole of creation is desperate, is groaning, is wanting to be sanctified, to be back how it was originally intended, back to where it should be. And the future of that is described, we won't turn to it now, in Revelation chapter 21, what it's going to be like when we're sanctified fully in his presence. You know, I'm sure, that humanity is the pinnacle of creation. It might not seem like that in the world we live in and the things we read and the things we experience, but humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation. Did you know your sanctification is the will of God? You don't have to turn to this. I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, I've just told you. It's your sanctification. To be set apart to live the way God intended. Humans fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that. The book of Romans tells us that we've all fallen short. And the reason why we're short of the glory of God is because we're without Christ, we're without God's presence, and God's presence always leads to God's glory. But isn't it amazing in the story of the fall, when Adam and Eve hide from God, it's God who comes looking for them. God says, where are you? God makes the first move. And that is a signal, a sign, if you like, in the future that God will provide a way back. So there's a pattern in the Bible, a sin, judgment, and grace. So Adam and Eve sin, the judgment they cast out in the garden, and the grace is the promised Saviour. So this is all building up to us to think about. That's all very well, and we've looked at lots of Bible references, and they're all dead encouraging, and that's amazing, brilliant. But what does it mean for us now in 2018? What does it mean for Liverpool in 2018 to be sanctified, to be going through sanctification? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question now. You don't have to answer it. Answer it inside. Are you being sanctified? Are you? am I? Is sanctification happening in your life? Is it happening in mine? So the obvious question to that is, well, how would we know? So we need to turn. I was going to get my guitar out now and sing you a song, but I was advised not to. So I'm not going to. And then I was going to say, well, I'll get Paul Knox to come up and play it, but we won't do that either. So can you turn to Colossians, please? And we're going to stay here for a bit. Colossians chapter 3. Those of you who know it will already be singing it in your head. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. But we're not going to look at just verses 1 to 4. We're going to look at a bit more of it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Excuse me. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12. Verse 12, I'll come to that in a minute. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So this is what sanctification looks like. Put off and put on. Put off and put on. So I've got a boss word for you. Okay, are you ready? If I can even say it, but I'll have a go. So we talked about a couple of weeks ago justification, how God does that thing, those two areas, the forgiveness of our sin and the righteousness of Christ being imputed to us. Well, here's another word, vivification. Okay, have you heard of that? Put your hand up if you've heard of that. I bet a couple of people have. Vivification. So according to John Calvin, vivification is the strengthening and empowering of the indwelling spirit to live a righteous and godly life, to fulfill the purpose for which we were made. So one part of sanctification is there in verse 1 of chapter 3. Seek the things that are above. Where is your mind at? Where is your mindset? What goes on in your mind? What controls your thoughts, your decisions? Because being sanctified means your mind is where? On things above. Why? Because that's where Jesus is. I wonder, is your mind, is my mind, set on things above, not on things upon the earth? Remember Romans, we're going to go back to this one. Keep your finger in Colossians because we're coming back there. Going to just turn back a few pages to Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. How? How are you not conformed to this world? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's a challenge, isn't it? What do I think about? What do I let my mind dwell on? Where does my mind go to? I don't know if you probably won't have experienced this. I guess you might have. But I'll just give you two examples. This is a camera that I don't really use anymore. Okay, I use a different camera. And when I first got the other camera, it took me ages to try and work it because I was used to the buttons being in a certain place and doing a certain thing. I was used to that. This is the way to do it. But then I had to stop and start learning this other way, this new way that wasn't the old way. Do you get it? That's what's setting your mind on things above it. It's not the way you used to live. It's a new way. Put your hand, put your hand up. Who's moved house? So we moved house, a few of you, not many, okay. So we moved house, right? We moved about, 50 meters from where we lived before. And I can honestly say, right, just as a side, it was one of the worst days of my life, okay? 13 years of accumulated junk, right? I mean junk, okay? Not stuff, junk. And then your mates come round to help, by breaking almost every piece, every item of junk that you had. But coming home from church and going back to a turn right down the road, and then we'd get down the road and get to the junction and turn left to go to Hartington Road, okay? And when we moved, obviously the first few times, what happened when we got to that left turn? We went left, back to where we used to live, not right to this new place, which is like 50 meters away. But it was like, this is the way to go. Come down here, go that way, come down here. And you have to stop and go, not that way, this way. Not that way anymore, this way now. Set your mind on things above where Christ is. Not that way anymore. Not the things you used to think about. Not the things you used to let your mind go to. Not the places you used to go, the things you used to say, what you used to watch. But this way. Set your mind in a different way. That's part of sanctification. The other part is mortification. So that's put on a new way of thinking. Mortification, I'm sure you know, means put to death. So we've got on one mind, one side, have a new mind, let be transformed. On the other side, put to death. So we've got put off, put on. Now we've got put off. So back to Colossians. Well, you got your finger in there anyway. I wish I'd left my finger in that page. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexually immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked. Go in the other way. Go in the old way. Stop going the old way. Stop it. Go the different way. Set your minds on things above. But now, verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Put them all away. So it's pretty unambiguous, would you agree? It's pretty clear. Put them away. Anger, put it away. Wrath, put it away. Mortify it, put it to death. Malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. This is not me, this is the word of God. Do not lie to one another. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Where does knowledge happen? In the mind. And after the image of its creator. So verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones. Remember, God chose you, God justified you, God adopted you, God made the move. You didn't earn it, you didn't merit it, God did it for you. Put on then, as God's chosen ones. So this is talking to you and me directly. Holy, beloved, put on God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion. Are you compassionate? Are you? Am I? The Bible says that's how you should be. That's sanctification. Where you weren't compassionate, be compassionate. Kindness, are you kind? Where you weren't kind. Be transformed. Be different. Go a new way. Humility. Are you humble? Do you humble yourself? Do you esteem other people more highly than yourself? Do I? It's what the Bible says. Put on humility. Meekness. Patience. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Is there someone you haven't forgiven? The Bible says you must forgive them as a Christian because Christ forgave you. Put on the new way. Be sanctified. This is what sanctification is. This is it. And above all these, verse 14, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I'm just going to read you a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and here's that phrase again, is seated at the right hand of God. What are you, what am I laying aside? What is it in your life? What sin are you trying to put to death? What is it that you are mortifying? Is it a character trait? Is it a behavior? What is it? What is it for me? That's what sanctification is. Looking at these things and saying, not that way anymore, this way. Why? Because I'm justified and adopted. The result of that is the outworking of the Spirit in me and through me in a life of sanctification, set apart and doing what I was designed to do, live in communion with my Father in heaven. There I will get, he will get the best out of me because I'll be living in a way that he wants me to. So what is sanctification? Vivification and mortification. A new mindset. Put on a new way and put off the old way. That's what it is to be sanctified. And we do it because the Spirit works through us and in us. Final reference. We had it read to us before. Hebrews chapter 10. And then we're done. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. This is amazing. For by a single offering, he has perfected, justified, adopted, for all time, those who are being sanctified. So yes, positionally, before God, you are perfect. But your life's work, in partnership with the Holy Spirit indwelling you, is to be sanctified. To put off and to put on. Let's stand together and sing.